नमो भगवते
वासुदेवाय
से द्वारे अच्छन्दले नाम प्रेम मालगंधी फराइला संसारे।
Thus with two intentions the Lord appeared with his devotees and tasted the nectar of prema with the congregational chanting of the holy name. Thus he spread kirtan even among the untouchables. He wove a wreath of the holy name and prema with which he garlanded the entire material world. E mata bhakta bhava kori angikara apani achari bhakti kori la prachara. In this way, assuming the sentiment of a devotee, he preached devotional service while practicing it himself. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. When Rupa Goswami met Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Prayag, he offered his respectful obeisances by submitting that Lord Chaitanya was more magnanimous than any other incarnation of Krishna because he was distributing love of God, love of Krishna. His mission was to enhance love of Godhead. In the human form of life, the highest achievement is to attain the platform of love of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya did not invent a system of religion, as people sometimes assume. Religious systems are meant to show the existence of God, who is then generally approached as the cosmic order supplier. But Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's transcendental mission is to distribute love of Godhead to everyone. Anyone who accepts God as the Supreme can take to the process of chanting Hare Krishna and become a lover of God. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya is the most magnanimous. This munificent broadcasting of devotional service is only possible for Krishna himself. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has taught the philosophy of surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who has surrendered to the Supreme can make further progress by learning to love Him. Therefore, the Krishna consciousness movement, propagated by Lord Chaitanya, is especially meant for those who are cognizant of the presence of the Supreme Godhead, the ultimate controller of everything. His mission is to teach people how to dovetail themselves into engagements of transcendental loving service. He is Krishna, teaching his own service from the position of a devotee. The Lord's acquaintance of the role of a devotee in the eternal form of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is another of the Lord's wonderful features. A conditioned soul cannot reach the absolute personality of Godhead by his imperfect endeavor. And therefore, it is wonderful, wonderful that Lord Sri Krishna, in the form of Lord Gauranga, has made it easy for everyone to approach him. Swarup Damodar Goswami has described Lord Chaitanya as Krishna himself with the attitude of Radharani, or a combination of Radha and Krishna. The intention of Lord Chaitanya is to taste Krishna's sweetness in transcendental love. He does not care to think of himself as Krishna because he wants the position of Radharani. We should remember this. A class of so-called devotees called the Nadia Nagaris or Gaur Nagaris pretend that they have the sentiment of gopis toward Lord Chaitanya. But they do not realize that he has placed himself not as the enjoyer, Krishna, but as the enjoyed, the devotee of Krishna. The concoctions of unauthorized persons pretending to be bona fide have not been accepted by Lord Chaitanya. Presentations as such as those of the Gaur Nagaris are only disturbances to the sincere execution of the mission of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is undoubtedly Krishna himself, and he is always non-different from Srimati Radharani. But the emotion technically called Vipralamba Bhav, which the Lord adopted for confidential reasons, should not be disturbed in the name of service. A mundaner should not unnecessarily intrude into affairs of transcendence and thereby displease the Lord. One must always be on guard against this sort of devotional anomaly. A devotee is not meant to create disturbances to Krishna. As Srila Rupa Goswami has explained, devotional service is anukulyena, or favorable to Krishna. Acting unfavorably toward Krishna is not devotion. Kamsa was the enemy of Krishna. He always thought of Krishna, but he thought of him as an enemy. One should always avoid such unfavorable so-called service. Lord Chaitanya has accepted the role of Radharani, and we should support that position as Swarup Damodar did in the Gambira, the room where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in Puri. He always reminded Lord Chaitanya of Radha's feelings of separation as they are described in Srimad Bhagavatam. And Lord Chaitanya appreciated his assistance. But the Gaur Nagaris, who place Lord Chaitanya in the position of enjoyer and themselves as his enjoyed, are not approved by Lord Chaitanya or by Lord Chaitanya's followers. Instead of being blessed, the foolish imitators are left completely apart. Their concoctions are against the principles of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The doctrine of transcendental enjoyment by Krishna cannot be mixed up with the doctrine of transcendental feeling of separation from Krishna in the role of Radharani.
Vande Gurum Isha Bhaktam Isham Ishavatharakam Tat Prakasham Shatat Chapti Krishna Chaitanya Samgyatam. Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodado Gorodaye Pushpavanto Chitro Sandota Monado Yada doitam brahmo parishadi tarapyasya tanuva ya atmantara yami purusha iti so sang shavi bava sadaishwara ya punoya iha bhagavan sasvayam ayam na chaitanya krishna jagati paratatvam param iha anarpita charin chirat karunaya vatina kalo samarpayatum udato jvala Rasam Swabhakti Sriya Hari Purata Sundara Juti kadamba sandipata sadahradaya kandare spuratuva sachinandana. Radha Krishna pranaya vikratir radini satya rasmat ekatman vapi bubibaba dehavidam gatao tao chaitanyakyam prakatam madanat tatvayam chekyamaptam radha bhava duti suvalitam nomi Krishna swarupam Sri Radhaya pranaya mahima kidrusovana yaiva Svadyo yenad bhuta madhurima kidrusovan madhiya Sokyam chasya madanubhavata kidrisam veti lobat Tadbhavadyat samadani sachigarva sindo harindu Ajanulambita pujo kanakathavato Sankirtanaika pitaro kamalaya taksho Vishwambaro dvijabaro yugadharma palo Vande jagat priyakaro karunavataro Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
We are today celebrating the appearance of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna appears in the role of his own devotee to distribute the nectarine mellows of the most confidential type of spiritual love of Godhead. We first of all offer our lowly head at the lotus feet of our Savior, Master, and beloved spiritual preceptor, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and to all of our beloved, merciful, extraordinarily effulgent acharyas of the Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya. We offer our hearts in submission to the assembled Vaishnavas, to the Panchatattva, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar and Srivas, and to the land of Sri Vrindavan, the eternal abode of the pastimes of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath and their loving associates. Today's verse describes in beautiful poetry the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He appeared with his devotees and tasted the nectar of prema with the congregational chanting of the holy names. And thus he spread kirtan even among the untouchables. He wove a garland of the holy name and prema with which he garlanded the entire material world. It is tradition that we offer a garland to a respectable personality. It is an act of humbling oneself before a guest or an exalted soul when we offer them garland. Every day we have so many devoted ladies in the corner of our temple room spending hours utilizing all of their abilities, intelligence, and devotion to weave beautiful garlands, the best possible flowers. Bhakti means to offer the best we have to Krishna. In some places there are no flowers. They may weave together leaves, and Krishna will accept because that is the best they have. So our ladies, they are taking best possible flowers they can, and with all of their intelligence and all of their artistic abilities, they're weaving flowers together. And it's brought to the pujaris, who with great sincerity place it around the neck of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is a very, very exalted service. It is the eternal service of the Braj Gopis in Goloka Vrindavan. It is a fact. Srivas Thakur, during the Hari Panchami festival in Puri, wanted to excite Swarup Damodar Goswami and Lord Chaitanya to extol the glories of Vrindavan. So he was minimizing them in a very joking spirit. He said, in Vrindavan, what do you have? Some leaves, some grass, some flowers, some peacock feathers, and a plant called Gunja. But in Vaikuntha, wonderful ornaments, wonderful opulences, beautiful palaces. And your gopis, what do? They milk cows, they churn butter, they make garlands. But my Lakshmi, she is sitting on a bejeweled throne, worshipped by all. Compared to Vaikuntha, what is in Vrindavan? Lord Chaitanya laughed, said, Narada Muni's influence has overcome you due to your association with the opulences of the Lord. But Swarup Damodar is a pure devotee of Vrindavan. He is so simple, he does not know anything except unconditional devotional service. Why don't you speak something? And Swarup Damodar Goswami began to extol the glories of Vrindavan Dham. How every grain of dust is Chintamani, more precious than all the wealth in all the universes of the material world, and every grain of dust in Vrindavan is more precious than all the wealth in all the Vaikuntha planets. And every tree is a desire tree, a kalpa briksha, which can fulfill all the desires of anyone who wishes. But the residents of Vrindavan, they are so satisfied, they do not want anything. They're happy just with the fruits of the trees. And in the pastures of Vrindavan, there are unlimited surabi cows, kamadenu, who can supply unlimited quantities of fresh nectarine milk. In fact, the ground, the pastures of Vrindavan is muddy with the milk of the cows. These kamadhenus, they could fulfill everyone's innermost desires. But the Brijabasis are so satisfied just serving Krishna, just pleasing Krishna. They do not desire anything. They're just satisfied just eating a little fruit and drinking a little milk. Think about that. Extraordinary. If you had a tree that could fulfill any desire you wanted, what would you wish under that tree? And you could wish as much as you want, anytime you want, for the rest of your life. It's not just one chance. You can just sit, I want a car, I want a house, I want a wife, I want a husband, I want nice children, I want good grades. So many things you could ask for. I want liberation, I want mystic. But you can just ask all day long for the rest of eternity and immediately fulfilled. That's desire tree. And the Kamadhenu cows same. You approach them, anything you desire in the presence of these cows, they supply. But Swarup Damodar Goswami is glorifying the residents of Vrindavan because they don't want anything. They're living in Chintamani Dham, but they're satisfied just with a few fruits and a few flowers and a little milk. They're satisfied just offering all these things to Krishna. They don't want anything for themselves. That is the perfection of life. When you water the root of the tree, every part of the tree is satisfied. Because the residents of Vrindavan are rendering the most intimate, loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna is so completely satisfied by their service, therefore he reciprocates and gives them the most concentrated, intoxicated ecstasy. Such intensified, concentrated happiness he gives them because they're giving him the most happiness. And their bodies are made out of the ecstasy of the reciprocation that Krishna is giving them. Therefore, it is explained that any one of the gopis in Vrindavan is millions of times more beautiful even than the goddesses of fortune in Vaikuntha. What to speak of the celestial apsaras and the heavenly planets, millions and millions of times more beautiful. And they're millions of times more beautiful even than the most beautiful star of Bollywood. Compared to the apsaras, they're like horses. But compared to the goddesses of fortune, the beauty of the heavenly damsels are eclipses. But compared to any one of the gopis just churning the butter and making the garlands, even the goddess of fortune's beauty is eclipsed. Why are the gopis so beautiful? Because their bodies are constituted of their prem. They've totally sold their entire bodies to the service of Krishna, to giving enjoyment to Krishna. Their body is simply the personification of their love. They don't have material bodies. Krishna tells gopis, although I am the proprietor of everything that exists in all spiritual and material worlds, with all that I have, I cannot repay you for your love. Even an entire lifetime of Brahma. So because they are giving the most extraordinary complete pleasure to Krishna by their simple love, Krishna reciprocates and fills their lives with that love. And their bodies is simply the manifestation of the ecstasy of their love for Krishna.
That is Vrindavan.
And what is the eternal occupation of gopis? Singing about Krishna, talking about Krishna, remembering Krishna as they're making garlands and milking the cows and performing such simple chores as simple cowherd girls. So when we offer garland to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is an act in our position. It is an act of reverential devotion and surrender. Actually, in the path of bhakti, Krishna accepts the conscious purpose in which we offer something. You can offer a garland as a formality, or you can offer a garland as an act of submissive surrender. That's actually the spirit. Prabhupada explains that there are statues here in Bombay of big politicians who have died. Yes. And once a year on their birthday, the municipal cleaner comes with a big broom and washes all the pigeon stool off the statue. Yes. And it's not easy because they usually allow it to collect all year long. And they give him an abhishek on his birthday. With the municipal brush, that the broom that cleans the streets. Yes? And after cleaning all the droppings off him and making him nice looking, then they put a pandal, and then exalted politicians and common people come and they put a garland on him. Haribo. As an act of respect, as an act of honoring his memory. So this is a wonderful, wonderful culture. In India, sometimes you get used to it. But when a foreign person comes to India and you put a garland on them, they're shocked. It's never happened to them in their entire lives. You're treating them like a demigod. They feel like they don't deserve it. I remember when my father and mother, first time they came to India, they were in their late 60s. Yes, and they got off the plane and devotee put garlands and they were, what, for me? They were beside themselves. They had never been honored in this way in their lives. This garland is for me? Really? Then about 30 devotees put garlands on them. They didn't know what to do. It's a culture shock. So yes, offering a garland is an act of respect. We're humbling ourselves to offer this type of reverence to another. Well, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the supreme controller, the Lord of the universe, who has descended from the spiritual world, he personally makes a garland. But what are the flowers he uses? Harinam and Krishna Prem. The most fragrant of all flowers. He strings an entire garland of Harinam and Krishna Prem. And then, as an act of honor, practically as an act of worship, he puts it around the entire material world. What does that mean? That means he is honoring with love every living entity in the material world by garlanding them. That is the humility of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even the untouchables. Can you imagine the greatest of the Brahmins going to the ghettos and finding malechas, yavanas, criminals, untouchables, and putting beautiful costly garlands on them. Have you ever seen this? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is doing this. He's going to the chandalas, the untouchables, and he's garlanding them all with the most precious wreath that he has personally made of Harinam and Krishna Prem. And intoxicating the world with true happiness. That is the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that he appeared for three internal reasons and three external reasons. The three external reasons should be understood very carefully. In fact, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami dedicates several entire chapters of knowledge, logic, philosophy, and lila just to explain the external and internal reasons of Lord Chaitanya's coming. The Lord came, first of all, to fulfill his promise, which he has given the world in Sri Bhagavad Gita. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaha. Whenever, wherever, there is a decline in religion and an uprise in irreligion, I descend. Krishna has come in the age of Kali, the most abominable, forsaken time in history. He comes. Out of causeless mercy. We explained last night, there's only one reason, only one cause for the Lord to descend in this world. His infinite kindness to the fallen, sinful people of material existence. And also, Sri Advaita Prabhu, he was crying out the names of Krishna all day. The condition of Navadvip and the condition of the entire world was so much under the subjugation of Kali. We read in Bhagavatam, when Kali personified himself as a king, but he had a cruel, wicked, crooked heart. His business was to cause pain and suffering to the innocent. His business was to devastate everything sacred within the world. Destroy truthfulness, destroy cleanliness, destroy austerity, destroy compassion from the hearts of all human society. And without these fundamental principles of religion, then what do you have left in human society? You have a species that's lower than the animals, that has the intelligence and the power to create so much pollution, damage, and misery. That is human. That is Kali's objective. To take the human being that was specifically created by the Supreme Lord for the purpose of self-realization, for the purpose of living saintly lives of purity, and take those human beings and make them cruel, wicked, and envious. Greed! So dissatisfied with their life, they want more and more and more, and however much they get, it's never enough.
the more you get, the more you're in anxiety to keep it, to maintain it, to preserve it. Sometimes even the more you get, the more you're in anxiety to try to enjoy it. Because you worked so hard for it and you're not enjoying it. That's anxiety. And there's always someone trying to take it away from you. The more valuable anything is, the more there's people who want to rob you. Yes? And if somebody else has more, you become envious. And the more you have, the more you need. Greed is like fire. The more fuel you put in it, the more it burns and burns and burns. People have lust. People have greed. People are envious. People are infatuated with false ego, which is another anxiety. False pride is such a suffering condition. You think you're great, and you're thinking you're enjoying that situation, but it creates a very, very insecurity. Psychologically, psychiatrically, it's usually the people who are mentally the most insecure that have to keep talking about themselves, about the great things that they have done. Yes? If you're actually self-satisfied, you don't have to say anything about yourself. Let the facts speak. Yes? In fact, the people who are the most stable, the Goswamis, they're saying that they're the most fallen. Krishnadas Kaviraj, he's a man of really stable consciousness. Absolute stable. And he's saying he's lower than a worm in stool. So what is all this false ego? Trying to make oneself look good in front of others for the sake of enjoying some prestige, some fame, some recognition. For a devotee, when he sees somebody like that, he just sees an empty, frustrated heart that's trying to grab on to these illusions, to these will-o'-the-wisps, to these horse eggs. Goda Dimba. What is it called? Hadibo. Simply horse eggs, all these material promises of Maya. What is a horse egg? It's something that doesn't exist except in your imagination. Yes? But when Maya captures you, your imagination becomes the reality. You dedicate your life, you struggle, you foam at the mouth like an ass to try to get these horse eggs. And not only that, but you somehow or other, out of your intense love and devotion for your children, you try to gather as many horse eggs for them and convince them the value of these. Yes? They don't exist except imagination. It's an illusion. For the eternal soul to be trying to enjoy these physical and mental pleasures through the set of clothes called the body, these two layers of gross and subtle coverings. So this is Kali. By taking away truthfulness, austerity, cleanliness, and compassion make us like animals, motivated by greed and lust and pride and envy, and when it's not fulfilled, anger, and our whole life becomes an illusion, and human society becomes disgraceful. If we actually look at the world from a holistic view, what is human society today? The type of pollution, the type of values, intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, meat eating. At the time of Maharaj Pariksit, these things didn't exist.
But Kali has come. And now, they're not only normal, they're fashionable. In some places, if you do not do these things, if you're not greedy and envy and angry, if you're not breaking regulative principles, there's something wrong with you. You're a social misfit. Something like a leper, someone like leprosy, something, he's deformed. That's the way people will see. So that is the power of Kali. And Kali is the king of the world at this time. And human society are all his obedient subjects. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so merciful. He has descended as Advaitacharya. Advaitacharya and the devotees of Navadvip, seeing the condition of human society in Kali Yuga, they were burning in their hearts, burning with compassion. They were literally crying. This is extraordinary. If you just understand this one point, you will surrender to Krishna. And we can end class and everything else. If you just understand this one point. The compassion of a Vaishnava. These devotees were absolutely free from any tinge of material ego. They were self-realized souls of the highest order. They were perfectly liberated in ecstatic love of God. In their hearts was erupting ecstatic love of Krishna at every moment. This is Advaitacharya, Srivas Thakur, Haridas Thakur. These are great personalities. But yet to see us, they're weeping, lamenting, because this is the nature of a great soul. They're more concerned with others than they are about themselves. Yes, they're experiencing ecstasy. But what about us? The more you become ecstatic, the more you actually lament when you see people do not have it. Material consciousness is, we want what other people have, because we're envy. Yes? Or if we have something, we always want something more than other people have. Yes? Except maybe your own son or daughter. Anybody else, we always want to be above them. Yes, you should have everything in abundance, slightly less than me. That's satisfying to the heart. But a devotee has everything, absolutely everything. And feeling so much happiness because Krishna, they have Krishna. When they see someone without Krishna, the more you have Krishna, the more you actually feel pain when you see someone who doesn't. If you don't have Krishna, if you only have some theoretical conception of Krishna, then you feel some theoretical compassion for someone who doesn't have Krishna. Yes? Some of us are preaching in that spirit. But when you actually are tasting the ecstasy and the nectar of the beauty of Krishna, then people have to have this. You don't know what you're missing. That is compassion. Therefore, through this type of logic, we understand the more you love Krishna, the more you will spontaneously be compassionate to others. Because you can't bear, you cannot tolerate anyone not tasting the nectar that you are. And you see them like flies, just swarming to the stooly substances of material enjoyment,
lust, anger, greed, profit, adoration, distinction, sensual pleasures. For one who's tasting Krishna, he's seeing this whole society going to the cinemas, watching the televisions, eating all kinds of foods and having all kinds of romantic relationships, working hard and living in beautiful houses and cars and clothes and ornaments and children. And what does it look like to a self-realized soul? Just sees a swarm of flies just eating. Very fermented, stooly objects. I'm sorry. But it's a fast day, so it may help. It may help you bear the time. So devotee sees. What would you do if you saw very beautiful honeybees swarming around the fermented, abominable, stooly substances? Think, no, it's not for you, it's for the flies. Yes? That's the way a saintly person sees. We're all part and parcel of Krishna. We're all eternal servants of Krishna. The nectar of love of God is within us. We're not meant for sense gratification. We're meant for ecstasy. We're meant for love. We're meant to be in Krishna's lila. So the self-realized souls, this is who you are. This is your nature. Why are you acting like an abominable fly? That is compassion. So this was the mood of the Vaishnavas headed by Sri Advaitacharya. Advaitacharya took a vow. He was fasting every day. For us. People today, they fast because they want to lose weight. Or they fast because they have a disease and this is just the natural way of cleansing the body. Yes? Or people fast because they want some merit, some material benediction, or even some spiritual advancement. So people fast because they want to gain something through that austerity. But Advaitacharya, he was not overweight. He was above all disease. He's already the proprietor of everything that exists. He's Mahavishnu, Sarashiva. He doesn't need anything to fast for. He's already perfectly realized. He was fasting for us. Fasting to attract Krishna to appear to deliver the fallen souls. Advaitacharya, he read in the Gautamiya Tantra that if one offers Tulsi Manjaris and Ganges water to Lord Vishnu with love and devotion, Lord Narayan will satisfy that devotee's desire. So on the bank of Ganga, he was offering Tulsi Manjaris, one after another, along with Ganga Jal. And with a loud voice, full of emotion and devotion, he was begging and pleading for Krishna to descend into this world to give Krishna prema to everyone. Advaitacharya was not praying to any of the other avatars. He was not praying even to the Vaikuntha manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was specifically praying to Krishna in Goloka. Why? Because the other avatars can destroy all ignorance. They can award liberation. And essentially, they can grant to us the awakening of love of God. Pure love of God. In a spirit of awe and reverence. But the sweet mood of the four higher rasas of servitude, friendship, parental love, and conjugal love, to grant the most perfect state of the sweetness of these types of love, only Krishna personally awards. No other avatar. Therefore, Advaitacharya was specifically calling for Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan to descend in the darkness of the age of Kali to give light. And he was crying so loud that it pierced through all the coverings of material existence. And Krishna in Goloka, Srimati Radharani in Goloka, heard his appeal. They could feel the tears of compassion falling from his eyes. They could experience the soft melting of his heart. Meanwhile, Srivas and his three brothers, Sri Ram, Sripati, Sri Nidhi, and Narada Muni, Parvat Muni, descended into this world. They were also, for the sake of the fallen souls, they were chanting the holy names loudly practically all day and all night with the exclusive objective of attracting Krishna to descend to deliver the most fallen. And the most fallen hated them for doing it. That is unconditional love. Yes? You're trying to save someone, and the people who you're trying to save are blaspheming you, criticizing you, chastising you, and threatening you, and hating you for it. Now, how many of you would continue on? Yes? Seeing the condition of these rogues and rascals, so puffed up by their mundane scholarship, by their high birth, sometimes by their wealth. They were screaming out the holy names day and night, Krishna, save them! But because they did it at night, these people didn't like it. They considered it noise pollution. And they would blaspheme horribly. Srivas and his brothers, they keep us up all night. Why? Because they're mad. They're crazy. They're fools. They're ignorant. They don't know what is religion. They don't know what is the purpose of life. They're utter failures. They're disgrace. They're parasites. Do you know what parasite means? Para means supreme, the supreme sight. So Saraswati was speaking through them in that sense. But they were parasite for them means just insects that go into you and just eat your body away. Yes? Parasite. So they look at them. They're not dressed properly. They're not eating properly. And yet they're screaming all the time and they're telling us what we should do. Huh. They're screaming so loud. And it's Chaturmasya. That means Vishnu is sleeping. If they wake him up, he's going to become so angry, he's going to destroy the universe because of them. This was their mentality. Or others, they were saying, the king is a malecha. The king hates Hinduism. It's outlawed to perform it publicly. the king is going to hear about this loud chanting, and he's going to say, he's going to become so violently angry, he's going to send his soldiers to Navadvip and plunder and imprison all of us because of Srivas, this mad nonsense Brahmin. Somebody else said, I think we should just get rid of this rascal once and for all. Let's tie him up, bind him up, and just send him to the king to put in prison. And as far as his house, we should just dismantle it and throw all the parts in the Ganges to be gone forever. And Srivas and his brothers are hearing these things. They're self-satisfied. They don't need anything from God. Their kirtan is only for them. But they were so selfless and so unconditional. For most of us, if we were treated that way, we would probably do some silent bhajan somewhere. Yes? But Srivas and his brothers, they carried on all night long, louder than ever, chanting the holy names. And Thakur Haridas, he was sitting in his cave on the bank of the Ganga in the forest of Puliagram, chanting minimum 300,000 names of Krishna every day. That means minimum 192 rounds. Why? Hare Krishna. He did it for the exclusive purpose at that particular time of bringing Krishna to this world to deliver the most fallen souls. So this was the second of the external reasons. Because the prayers of a great Vaishnava is never, never, ever in vain. Krishna is the Paramatma in the heart. Krishna knows our every desire, our every thought, everything. Ishvara sarvabhutanam hrite sharjuna tishtati brahmayan sarvabhutanam yantra rudani mayaya. According to our desires, the Paramatma is directing us. Yes? So if he is all-knowing, how much it affects the Lord within our heart when he hears a devotee offering sincere, humble prayers for the welfare of another. There is no greater benediction than having a sincere Vaishnava praying for us. Because all of your wealth, all of your fame, all of your prestige, all of your skills and abilities do not necessarily touch Krishna. But the prayers of a Vaishnava connect us to Krishna. Krishna blesses us when a devotee is praying on our behalf. So yes, to fulfill and honor the prayer of Advaitacharya, Srivasana's brother, Haridas Thakur, and all the other Vaishnavas, Krishna decided to descend into this world. And there's a third reason. Krishna comes in every yuga in one of his plenary portion expansions in order to establish the recommended process of religion for that age. He comes as the yuga avatar to bestow the yuga dharma. In every Kali Yuga, the Lord incarnates to establish Harinam Sankirtan. for this reason, to establish the transcendental chanting of the holy names, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears. We often discuss the glories of the holy name. Aho bata swapachotogariyam. The names of the Lord are so glorious. Even if a person is born in an environment of the family of a chandala, if that person is sincerely chanting the holy names, it's to be considered that he's gone to all the holy places of pilgrimage, he's performed all the various religious purifications, he's understood and studied all the holy scriptures, he's done all the ceremonial rituals of the Vedas. In fact, such a person who sincerely takes shelter of the holy name, even a chandala, can become the guru of the whole world. That is the conclusion of the scripture. Can deliver the whole world. But a very high class aristocratic Brahmin who follows all the principles of Brahman, but doesn't take shelter of the holy name, that person cannot even deliver himself, what to speak of anyone else. Lord Chaitanya gives example from Purana, where there was a yavana. He was a hunter. He was out hunting, and he was attacked by a wild boar. And as the boar was piercing him with his tusk, what was he chanting? Haram. Haram in the Yavana language means abominable. Because a boar is abominable. Yes? It's not a very glorious death. I mean, being killed in the battlefield is somewhat glorious. But being killed by a wild pig, it's not very glorious. They're abominable. They eat stool. So as he was dying, just out of disgust and fear and desperation, he just cried, Harama, Harama, how abominable! But what happened to him? Huh? What did you say? Haram? Yes. What happened? Haram. Because haram means, oh my dear Ram. And he chanted offenselessly. He didn't want anything. He was just at the last moment. Antakali chamami vasmaran matva kalevaram. What you remember at the time of death you will attain without fail. That is the power of the holy name. He attained liberation because he had chanted without offense. The story of Ajamila is often cited. He was living a sinful life of cheating others, addicted to his senses. But by the will of the Lord, because of some previous devotional service, he remembered his son, Narayan, and called his name when he was leaving this world. And he was freed of all his sins and was given a chance to go back home, back to Godhead. Nam namakari bahuta nija sarva shaktis. All the power, opulence, and beauty of the Lord is within the name. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur have explained to us, what is the power of the name? It's non-different than Krishna. It's identical to Krishna. Krishna incarnates in this age as his name. We read about how Krishna in Gita says when there is a decline in religion and an uprise in irreligion, he descends. So people ask all the time, where is he? Look at the world today. Just a pralaya of irreligion. There's tsunamis of irreligion just crashing against practically every living entity in the whole planet. Yes? Inundation. Where is God? Kalikale namarupe Krishnavatar. Krishna has descended in this age. He descends in his name. And all the power of all the incarnations are within the name. Why? Because Krishna is non-different than his name. We simply have to chant with the proper consciousness and reciprocate with the mercy of the Lord that is descended in his name. When Krishna appeared, very few people recognized him. So many people considered that he was just a powerful person. What was Shishupal's idea? He just saw Krishna in the most ordinary way. So similarly, when Krishna appears in his name, without the association of devotees, we cannot understand, appreciate, or reciprocate with the mercy of the name. Therefore, it hardly helps us. But yes, God, with all of his powers, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, if we just can access the name, what will happen? If we can just chant sincerely, then the name will reveal the ecstatic form of Radha Gopinath. We're seeing the deities of Radha Gopinath every day and we're attracted, but are we really seeing them? According to the nature of our love, they reciprocate and reveal themselves within our hearts. When we chant the name of the Lord sincerely, from within the heart, Krishna and Srimati Radharani, we are chanting their names. They reveal their eternally unlimited, beautiful, sweet forms of Goloka Vrindavan. They reveal it in their name. We understand that the name is non-different. It doesn't represent Krishna. The name is Radha Gopinath. The name reveals the qualities of the Lord, the love and the kindness of the Lord. The name reveals the abode of the Lord. Within the two syllables Krishna, the two syllables Hare, is the entire Goloka Vrindavan and all the pastimes, the leelas of the Lord are within the name, revealed through the name. There's nothing else required. Through the chanting of the name actually brings us right into the leelas and reveals our constitutional identity, our eternal personality in the spiritual world. That is the power of the name. So Mahaprabhu taught us how to chant. Take this verse, put it on the string of the holy name and wear it always. Trinadapi sunichena taror iba sihishnuna amani namana dena kirtaniya sadahari. Recently I heard about one of my god sisters. She was living in Vrindavan. And super excellent cook. The first temple I ever lived in of ISKCON, which was in Amsterdam, on my way after India, she was the head cook. In fact, she was the only cook. She was the only woman. The whole temple was brahmacharis. And one lady who was the cook She really cooked. She's fantastic. But later on, she was cooking in Vrindavan. And one devotee, another god brother, was really, really upset with her. And she was really upset with him. And he was taking away her services. So she was very, very, very disturbed. Extremely disturbed. And to be disturbed like that in Vrindavan is a very difficult thing. So she went to one of Prabhupada's friends, Bhagatji, who lived close to Krishna Balaram temple. And she revealed her heart and said, "What should I do? I'm just so disturbed. This person is not treating me properly. He's really aggressive against me. He's taking away my services. He's mistreating me, spreading things about me. What should I do?" Bhagatji said, "You should go to see Prabhupada and you should just reveal your mind to him and tell him everything." She said, "But I'm afraid to do that." He said, "No, no, you should do it. He's your spiritual master. You can do it." "But I can't do that." He said, "Well, I'm his friend. I'll go with you. And I'll introduce you and then you can speak." So she said, "All right, if you come with me and you introduce the subject, then I will speak." So they went to Prabhupada's room. Prabhupada was there. He was in the back room. The secretary brought this lady and Bhagatji and brought them into Prabhupada's meeting room and said, "He'll be out. He'll be coming in just a few minutes. He's in the other room." So secretary left. The two of them are sitting there. Prabhupada comes out into the room. She turned to Bhagatji to introduce the subject. To her surprise, Bhagatji was gone. She was alone with Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan. And she didn't know what to do. She didn't know what to say. And Prabhupada looked at her and said, "So, why have you come?" And then Prabhupada didn't even look at her. Actually, he didn't look at her. He was just looking at the beautiful paintings of Krishna on the walls of his room. She wanted to say something to him, but he was ignoring her. Well, it's hard to say something when somebody's looking at the wall, at the pictures on the walls, especially something so important as this. So she was sitting and sitting, and Prabhupada was looking at pictures. And then without even looking at her, Prabhupada said, "You are in distress?" Said, "There is only one solution. Trinadapi sunichena taror ivasihishnuna. Amani namanadena kirtaniya sadahari." That is the only. That is the only way to overcome all of these obstacles. Remember this verse always. And then Prabhupada left the room. Hare Krishna. And she was completely ecstatic. In fact, she was so ecstatic that she tattooed that verse all over her body so she wouldn't forget it. Now please, ladies, don't do that. You cannot imitate the great souls, but you can follow in the footsteps by trying to never forget that verse. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's essential instruction of how to always chant the holy names. We repeat it often, but it's very difficult. We forget to be humble like the grass, tolerant like a tree, offer all respect to others, and really not expect respect in return. Unless we really, really strive for this state of consciousness, it's not possible to really access
the unlimited mercy of the holy name, which reveals Radha and Krishna's full opulences to the devotee. The holy name alone in the age of Kali can transport the soul to the highest realm of Goloka without even leaving this body. That is the power. In this life, we can be transported to Goloka. So, yes, the Lord has descended. But who's willing to recognize and receive the mercy? That is the real question. But without the Yuga Avatar, nobody can understand what is the Yuga Dharma. So therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam ends, Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashana. In this age of Kali, just by chanting the holy names in Nam Sankirtan, giving and bowing down before the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we can become free of all sins. Now what happens when we actually become free of all sins? Chetodarpana Marajanam, the heart becomes pure, Anandam Buddhivarajanam, and the ecstasies of love naturally awaken. Thakur Haridas, he was glorifying the holy name. That in this age of Kali, which is darkness, the holy name is like the sun. When the name actually rises on the horizon of our hearts, it bestows the supreme light of Krishna Prema. Krishna Prema is so rare. It is so treasured. It is so of such value that in comparison, even mukti, liberation, is insignificant. He said, just even in the Namba stage where we're not even chanting purely, we get liberated. Just like before the sun even rises, darkness is dissipated. So therefore, Haridas Thakur was preaching that mukti, which is the ultimate goal of practically all the yogis and the jnanis and the Himalayas and everywhere else, that's their ultimate goal. They're performing lifetimes of austerity and study, restricting themselves from so many pleasures, focusing their mind, disciplining their bodies for mukti. And here is Haridas Thakur telling the public that mukti is an insignificant byproduct of Krishna Prema. Hare Krishna. And one Brahmin, Gopal Chakravarti, he did not like that. But that's another story. So this is the reality. Nama Sankirtanam Vishnu Jagan Mangalamanghasha Mahatam Api Korava Vidyai Kataknam Niskritam. Srimad Bhagavatam declares that there is nothing so auspicious in all of creation as the sincere, loud chanting of the holy name. And what does auspiciousness mean? Something that is auspicious dispels pain and ignorance and suffering. Something that is auspicious rejuvenates, enlivens, and enlightens the heart. Yes? Now, people do so many different things to invoke auspiciousness. Yes. There are so many
superstitions and so many ceremonies and so many rituals and so many ideas of how to invoke auspiciousness. People do mantra, tantra, yantra, mudra, pudra, so many things to invoke auspiciousness. According to the mode of nature you're in, you invoke auspiciousness. Just like when those dacoits wanted to kill Nityananda and the Vaishnavas, they failed in one attempt, the first time. At that time they were thinking, when it gets dark and we get the message that they're sleeping, then we'll attack. Until then, let's rest. So it was night, and they all fell asleep. Nidra Devi came upon them. They all fell asleep. And soon, this is the daytime. The sun is out, and they're laying there out in the open with all their weapons. They ran away. They started blaming, oh, you fell asleep first. Why didn't you wake me up? No, you were supposed to wake me up. Why, you fell asleep? And they were all fighting with each other. Meanwhile, people are watching. What is this? They were dacoits. Then the leader, he said, no, I know why. Because we did not invoke auspiciousness by offering blood, meat, and wine to the goddess Mangala Chandi. Therefore, without this auspicious act, we can't do these auspicious things. Hare Krishna. So everyone wants auspiciousness. But here the Srimad Bhagavatam is explaining that the supreme, most auspicious environment is created by the loud chanting of the holy names. There is nothing in all the 14 worlds that brings about a more auspicious experience than the chanting of Krishna's holy name. So we are speaking slokas that were compiled over 5,000 years ago in the original Vedic literature. As Prabhupada explains in the purport we read today, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he did not invent anything. Although he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Dharma Tu Sakshat Bhagavat Pranitam, he's the person who has invented all religion. Vedaischa sarveraham eva vedo vedantakrit vedavideva chaham. Krishna says, I compiled Vedas. I'm the ultimate goal of the Vedas. And I'm the knower of Vedanta. But yet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes in the role of a devotee and extracts the essence from all the scriptures and delivers that to the world. And what is that essence? That in this age of Kali Yuga, Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatir Anyata. There's no other way in this age of Kali to achieve the ultimate perfection of life than chanting the names of Hari. That is essence. And what is the purpose of chanting the names of Hari? Lord Chaitanya didn't just give the name. He gave the culture in which to chant it. He gave the disposition of consciousness. We're not chanting for material benefits. We're not chanting for liberation. We're not chanting for mystic powers. We're chanting for the Purushartha Siromani, the crest jewel of all goals of life, unalloyed, unadulterated, pure, selfless love to Krishna. Anyabilashita sunyam jnana karmanya navratam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktaruttama. We don't want anything
except to give Krishna satisfaction by our love. When we make that our aspiration and we follow in the mood of Lord Chaitanya, he came in the role of a devotee to teach. He was always humbly serving the Vaishnavas. He took initiation from a bona fide spiritual master and served his guru with menial, humble devotion. He was respectful to all. And he was always, always eager to preach this message to others. So yes, Lord Chaitanya taught us the value of the gift of the holy name. One who has faith in the holy name of Krishna will overcome all obstacles. That is a major difficulty in devotees' lives. We just don't have that faith in chanting Hare Krishna. If we just have that faith, there is no obstacle that we cannot overcome. There's a beautiful verse in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita where it explains how for one who remembers Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even the most difficult things can easily be overcome. But for one who forgets Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even simple things become impossible. If we have faith in Krishna's name as being identical to Krishna, all merciful, fully accessible, even to you and me, then we can overcome not only the day-to-day problems, we can actually cross over the entire ocean of birth and death. That is the power of the name. Thus, association of devotees is so very, very critical. Because it's in that association, hearing from the devotees, speaking with the devotees, exchanging these six loving reciprocations with devotees. In the mood of a servant, that environment awakens faith. Faith is not something put in you. Faith is awakened from within us. The soul has complete faith. Yasya devi para bhaktir yatha devi tatha guru. One who has complete faith in simply the mercy of the spiritual master, all the imports of the Vedas are automatically revealed. This is the power of faith. What is the power of faith? If we analyze it carefully, the power of faith is simply faith opens our hearts to receive. To the degree we have faith, we can receive. Yes? Just like if you have complete faith in a doctor, you'll just take whatever medicine he gives you. If you don't have complete faith, you'll always be second-guessing. Maybe this, maybe that. Yes? If you have complete faith in someone, you'll trust them. You'll do whatever they say. You'll be completely open to their mercy and compassion. The Lord has descended within the name. When we have faith in the name, we can actually depend on the name. When we have faith in the name, we won't be artificially seeking shelter in so many other things. Why do we seek shelter in so many other things? Because we really do not have that faith in Krishna. Therefore, faith is essential. Faith is foundational to all of our spiritual advancement. Why? Because faith simply opens our heart up. In proportion to our faith, our heart is open to receive mercy.
from another point of view, if we have faith in someone who's cheating us, then to what extent we can be plundered and exploited. Yes? The blind lead the blind, and they both fall down into the ditch and break their bones and trapped. Yes? If you have faith in the fallible soldiers who are all fighting in the army of Kali, then what will happen to us? And that's the problem in this world. Maya knows the science perfectly. Kali knows the science so well. If they can somehow or other dupe us into having faith in their promises, then we're defeated. We're their property. And that's what Kali Yuga is about. People have faith in the mundane scientists. Srila Prabhupada, out of mercy, sometimes to the Western mind, some of the things he said were so extreme, especially about scientists and about different scientific accomplishments. Prabhupada, why are you saying that? It really doesn't matter whether they went here or didn't go there. It really doesn't matter. And Prabhupada even said it didn't matter. But what does matter is to break your faith in the fallible soldiers of these illusionists. Yes? You put your faith in them, and ultimately their whole culture, their whole system is that you're this body and that you're the enjoyer, and you can't separate one thing from the other. Therefore, Prabhupada really wanted to break our faith in the influence of Kali. Because to the degree we have that faith in Kali, to that degree we cannot put our faith in Krishna. Prabhupada was very simplistic in this sense. He said, doesn't matter what anybody says. The scripture says this, this is right, that's all. Yes? Scientists have all kinds of research and all kinds of experimentation and all kinds of evidence that this is something about the nature of the moon. And Prabhupada says, whatever they say, the scripture says something different, therefore we accept the scripture. Bus. Does that sound too simple for you? If you put faith in Maya, if you put faith in Kali, however sensible it looks, however logical it is, however attractive it appears, you're their property. You're controlled. Therefore, we have to put faith in the Word of God, which is revealed in the Holy Scriptures. And what is the essence of the Scriptures? To always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. And what is the essence of how to always remember Krishna and never forget Him? Nam Sankirtan. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. What does that mean? The prime benediction for all humanity, all glories to the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Faith. The association of devotees is critical. Because
by reciprocating with devotees and hearing and chanting in a mood of service, faith awakens in our heart. And that faith opens us to receive the mercy of the name. Srila Prabhupada told the devotees, this is in 1972, if you just have faith in this teaching, if you just have faith in Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is none different than His name, said you could take over the world in 18 days. That will be your power. Hare Krishna. That was Prabhupada's faith. He demonstrated faith. Jaladuta, heart attacks, seasickness, arrives in New York, poverty, stroke, no help. Why did he continue? Prabhupada said, he only had two things. He had a box of books. Now, how many of you would feel comfortable in that situation with a box of books? What does that mean, he had a box of books? He said when he came off the Jaladuta, there was nobody he could see waiting for him. He had just had two heart attacks days before. He was still dizzy due to seasickness. He had no money. Exchangeable. He had no place. He didn't know a single person. The only person he indirectly knew was living about 800 miles away. And he walked off the boat and he was looking right and left and he didn't know which way to go. He didn't know what to do. But he told Brahmananda Prabhu, he said, but I felt completely secure because I knew I had my books. What does that mean? Study, analyze. Those books were Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada had complete faith in the message and the power of Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishne Swadhamo Pagate Dharma Gyanadi Bisaha Kalona Shtadrisha Mesha Purana Kodanodata. After Krishna leaves this world, Kali Yuga begins. But Krishna appears to give light within this dark age of Kali through the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada had faith in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He had faith in his spiritual master, and he had complete faith in the power and in the mercy of Krishna's holy names. He demonstrated it. Why? Acharya, to teach by his example. We have to long for this faith. We have to beg for this faith. We must pray for this faith. And we must do the needful to get this faith. Trinada Bisunichena Taror Ibasihishnuna Amanina Manina Kirtaniya Sadahari. When we are humble, when we are tolerant, when we respect others and don't expect for oneself, we attract Krishna's mercy. We awaken which awakens that faith in our heart. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he descended from Goloka Vrindavan to bring with him the supreme, most powerful of all his weapons. Lord Varahadev, he killed with his tusk Hiranyaksha. Narasimhadev killed with his razor sharp claws Hiranyakashipu. Parasuram killed with his chopper. The speed of the mind. The demons. Sri Ramchandra, he killed the demons with his arrows. Krishna, he severed the heads of the demons with the Sudarshan Chakra. I'm sorry, Sudarshan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the sum of all avatars. Swayam Bhagavan, Krishna is the Purnavatar. That means all the avatars are present within his form. That is Krishna. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world, according to the time, place, and circumstance, he revealed so many different avatars. When he was walking through the streets of Navadvip and he heard Vishnu Sahasranam, they chanted the name of Nrsingadev. He went into the rage of Nrsingadev, roaring, "Where are the asuras? Where are the offenders of the devotees?" And everyone was running away in fear. He actually became Lord Narasingadev. It wasn't a show. It wasn't some street drama. He became Narasingadev. That mood fully manifested from him. And then Srivas Thakur said, "My Lord, please, everybody's running away." And Lord Chaitanya said, "Oh, I have offended everyone. Look at what I have done." He was in ecstasy. He was in the ecstasy of Narasingadev. He became so absorbed in Narasingadev, he became Narasingadev. First in the role of a devotee, he was listening and feeling ecstasy, hearing the name. And then he was so absorbed in the name, he forgot he was in the role of a devotee, and he became Narasingadev. Harivo, that is ecstatic. That is the ecstasy of the divine. A person was chanting, invoking Narasingadev, so he was reciprocating. Srivas said, no, Lord. Whoever saw you in this mood will be liberated from the cycle of birth and death. They have achieved your mercy. Another time he heard the name Sukara or Varahadev, and he actually came to Murari Gupta's house and literally manifested the form of Varaharup and picked up a pot from his temple room which represented the earth and put it on his tusks. At the time of his taking the sacred thread ceremony from his father, Jagannath Mishra, he actually assumed the form and the mood of Vamanadev. When he was sitting on the pots, the dirty pots, and his mother was asking him to come off, he actually manifested Dattatreya. The personality of Dattatreya manifested fully in Lord Chaitanya. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna coming to assume the mood of Sri Radha's love. But we should understand that all the avatars are fully within him. That is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he comes to this world with his greatest weapon. And what is that weapon? The weapon of the holy name. Because the weapon of the holy name can kill the demoniac mentality within even the worst asuras without harming their bodies and make them ecstatic devotees. Thus, Thakur Narottam Das has prayed, Dinahina yatachilo harinama udharilo thara sakshi jagai madhai.
This is the power of the holy name. This is the weapon of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That even jagai and madhai of equal abominability
as Hiranyaksha, Kumbhakarna, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, Shishupal, Dantavakra,
same demoniac substance, cruel murderers, rapists, robbers, drunkards, flesh and blood eaters.
But they were more humble than blades of grass, more tolerant than trees, with folded palms offering all respect to others in a mood of doing even the most menial service for strangers, and not expecting any respect for oneself. They became completely spotless in their morality. How is that possible? Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu wanted to show the world the supreme power of the holy names for those who have faith to receive it. So yes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Yugavatar. He has descended to manifest the glory of the holy name. Krishna Varnam Tvasa Krishnam Sango Pangasha Parashanam Yagyai Sankirtana Priyar Yajante Hi Sumedasha. In this age of Kali, those who have good intelligence, they will worship the Supreme Lord who appears in His beautiful complexion along with His associates. And how do they worship Him? By the ultimate expression of worship, the Sankirtan of the Holy Name. I do not know how much nectar these two syllables Krishna have produced. When the holy name of Krishna dances upon my tongue, I desire many, many, many tongues. When that name enters my ears, I desire millions and millions of ears. And when that name enters into the core heart of my heart, my entire consciousness is conquered. My senses become inert. That is Rupa Goswami's experience of what happens when a person with faith chants the holy names. That is our treasure. That is what we are aspiring for. Prabhupada explained how the vast substance of all of our spiritual progress comes from the chanting of the holy names. That is why it is so very, very critical to learn the humble attitude of selfless service. Because it is only through that attitude that we can actually be in the proper frame of mind to call out Krishna's names. And then everything is accomplished. The mercy of the Lord flows into our hearts unlimitedly, cleanses all anartas, and awakens ecstatic love. So therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as the Yuga Avatar, everything he did was to teach us the proper mood to chant. Naham vipronacha narapatir napi vaishona shudra. I am not a Brahmin, I am not a Kshatriya, I am not a Vaishya, I am not a Sudra, I'm not a Brahmacharya or a Grihastha or a Vanaprastha or a Sannyasi. I'm not concerned with any of these social or spiritual designations. I'm not a temple president. I'm not a guru. I'm not a GBC. I'm not a head pujari. I'm not a head cook. I'm not a counselor. What am I? Lord Chaitanya told. Gopi Bhartur Pada Kamalayora Das, Das, Das. Anu. Anu Das. Anu. Anu's the smallest particle there is. Yes? Isn't that what Anu? It's not Das, Das, Das. Anu Das. Not like that. Anu. It's the smallest, most insignificant particle in all creation. That's what Anu means. It means infinitesimal. Now, what did you ever think of that word, infinitesimal? Infinite means just beyond our imagination, beyond all comprehension, all-pervading and large. Yes? Well, infinitesimal is that same principle in smallness. Infinitesimal means beyond our comprehension how minute and insignificant it could possibly be. And that is Anu. The most insignificant, infinitesimal, tiny particle of a servant of a servant of a servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. Mahaprabhu said, that is what I aspire to be. That is my identity. And he was a Brahmin, and he was a sannyasi. And he had already conquered Keshav Kashmiri. He was the greatest scholar, and he was the most beautiful. He had all opulences. This is greatness. When a person has opulences and is still totally humble. That is an extraordinary greatness that can even melt the hearts of people who have steel-framed hearts. Yes? But this is Lord Chaitanya. Who is Balaram? Balaram is one who is the source of all incarnations. Krishna Balaram. Yes? Mahavishnu. Just by his breathing, he's creating and destroying entire material existence. Yes? Varaha Dev, Narsingha Dev, these are just parts and parts. These are just partial manifestations of the opulences of the Lord. Here is the Supreme Lord in his full opulence as Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Parama karuna pahundui jan nitai gora chandra. So kind. With straw between their teeth, they're begging people, falling in the ground and rolling like golden mountains, rolling in humility, please take the name of Krishna. That is greatness. Due to Kali, due to Maya, the world is misled to have the completely wrong conception of what is great. What is cheap and without any true eternal value is considered great. And what is great is considered cheap. That is Maya. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chants this beautiful verse. My only real identity, my aspiration is to be the servant of the servant of the servant. Why? Harinam, harinam, harinam eva kevalam kalo nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gatiranyata. There's only one way in the age of Kali for liberation of the highest, and that is chanting Hare Krishna. Therefore, Mahaprabhu is showing us the disposition of our consciousness, the humility and the desire to serve and to please that is required to get that mercy, that faith, to make our hearts receptive, to receive the full blessings of Krishna who has descended into his holy names. What was attainable in Satya Yuga through 60,000 years of meditation in a solitary place, fasting and following complete rules of celibacy? What was attainable in the Treta Yuga by performing yajnas, which would take practically one's whole life just to somehow or other accumulate the proper paraphernalia? And the proper ability to perform the yajna perfectly? What was attainable in Dwapara Yuga by very perfectly performing the ceremonial worship of the deity in the temple with all opulences, chanting each mantra very specifically and correctly, making all the offerings in the right way, at the right time, with the right consciousness? Very difficult. That same ultimate goal is achieved easily in this age of Kali by simply taking shelter of Krishna's holy name. Golokera Primadana Harinam Sankirtan. From the topmost abode, Goloka Vrindavan, the holy name has descended into this material world to deliver even the most wicked and envious, even the fallen souls of Kali Yuga. That is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is the Yuga Avatar that brings down that shower of mercy. So it was the scheduled time for Yuga Avatar to come. But these are only the external reasons why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. Should I continue? Should we end here? Brahmacharis, what should I do? Huh? Please say Hari Bol if you're still awake. I guess you're awake now. Desiring to understand the glory of Radharani's love, the wonderful qualities in him that she alone relishes through her love, and the happiness she feels when she realizes the sweetness of his love, the Supreme Lord Hari, richly endowed with her emotions, appeared from the womb of Srimati Sachi Devi as the moon appeared from the ocean. Yesterday it was explained how Krishna in his original form of Swayam Bhagavan, Rasaraj, appears only in one in a day of Brahma. It is very rare. A day and a night of Brahma is over 8 billion years. only once in that time span does Krishna appear in his original form. His partial expansions, the Yuga avatars, they come in every age. We were describing yesterday the four ages. The Lord appears in every single age as the Yuga avatar. The four ages together is a Divya Yuga. 1,000 Divya Yugas. That means 1,000 cycles of the four ages is a day of Brahma. The span of 14 Manvantaras. Incredible. That is when Krishna appears. So Krishna appeared in the 28th Divya Yuga, Svetavaraha Kalpa of the Vaivashvat Manu, just at the end of the Dwapara Yuga. Then he returned to his abode. And in Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna's thinking. It is revealed in the scriptures. Krishna appears because love of God, crippled by the sense of awe and reverence, isn't completely pleasing to his heart. Other avatars can give that love of God as an eternal obedient servant to the Supreme Father and Master. But what pleases Krishna's heart even more so is love that is imbued with sweetness and intimacy. The cowherd boyfriends are playing with Krishna. They're throwing balls at Krishna, and Krishna's catching and throwing it back. Yes? How sweet. You can't do that with the universal form. It's very difficult of conceiving doing that with Lord Narsingadev, or even Lord Narayan with his arm, because all his arms are holding weapons and flowers and conch shells. But here is the gopas, they're picking bale fruits, and Krishna, catch! And Krishna runs and catches it, and then he says, Subal, catch! And Subal catches it, and they're throwing, and they're having games, seeing who could catch the best. And sometimes they're imitating animals. The cowherd boys start imitating frogs. Yes, the frog is jumping, and they're jumping right behind the frog. But they're doing it in such a way that Krishna sees. Because they're doing it for Krishna's pleasure. They're not doing it for the frog's pleasure. They're doing it for Krishna's. But they also are doing it for the frog's pleasure, because they know if they please the frog, they'll please Krishna. So ultimately, they're doing it for Krishna. So they're jumping like frog, just like frog. And then the frog jumps in the water, and just to please Krishna, they jump in the water. And Krishna laughs. And that's the perfection of their life. Yes? Now there are Mahapandits who are studying the Vedanta and memorizing hundreds and thousands of slokas and giving lectures to hundreds and thousands of people and displaying mystic opulences. But they do not please Krishna even one-billionth as a cowherd boy imitating a frog. Why? Because of the intimacy, the confidential sweetness of their love for Krishna. He's my friend. And they wrestle with Krishna. And sometimes they carry Krishna on their shoulders, and sometimes Krishna carries them on his shoulders, just to show the world, I am conquered by the love of my devotee. Then Yashoda Mai, she's chastising Krishna. She picks up a stick and Krishna's crying. He's literally crying. He's shaking. There's tears flowing from his eyes. His lips are trembling. He's saying, Mother, please, 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 put down the stick. She said, why did you steal the butter? She said, I'll only tell you if you put down the stick. Put down, please, I'll never do it again. I did it. I'll never, but just put down that stick. Now, was Krishna afraid of a stick? In his partial expansion of Ram? Hare Krishna. Ravana, Kumbhakarna, they were throwing clubs and arrows with the shakti of the gods, and he was not the slightest bit concerned. But here's Krishna, crying and trembling in fear of a little, and it wasn't a big stick. It wasn't even like the sticks that our security guards have. It was just a little stick. How wonderful. How Krishna is literally conquered by the intimacy of the love of his mother. And when the thunder... and Krishna, crying, gets up from bed and jumps into the bed of his mother and just crawls in her arms. And she, mother, she's shaking, he's trembling because of thunder, and she just starts kissing him and embracing him, and he smiles. That is Krishna. And conjugal love, the love of gopis, how much they conquer Krishna. He confesses, I cannot repay you for your love for me with all that I possess, even in an entire lifetime of Brahma. He's captured by gopis. He's feeling deep, intense separation from the gopis. Intimacy of love. He's dancing with them. You don't see Prahlad dancing with Narsingadev. They have a perfect loving relationship. You don't... Hanuman dances. But did you ever see him dancing with Ram? Yes? He'll dance everywhere else. But with Ram, he's like this. The intimacy of Vrindavan is so intensely sweet that the gopis, they're dancing with Krishna. For an entire night of Brahma, they're dancing in ecstatic love. So Krishna, unless only he himself personally, Krishna of Goloka, can bestow the intimacy of this type of love upon the devotees. Therefore Krishna decided, I must myself descend. And he manifested these wonderful leelas in his Krishna avatar. But as Kali Yuga progressed, who could understand this? So high, so deep, so inaccessible to the common people. Krishna wanted to make it accessible. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. But Swarup Damodar Goswami prays, Anarpita Charim Chidat Karuna Yavatirna Kalom. He's come to give what nobody else has given. No other avatar has given so freely the love of the gopis to the common people. He's actually freely making it available to anyone. Whoever you are, he's willing to actually invest your heart with the same type of spiritual love as the gopis. That is the special, most profound, supreme mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is what very much differentiates him, although he is one, with and from all the other avatars. Krishna in Goloka cannot fathom the love of Srimati Radharani. It is described that one time Krishna, he looked into a jeweled pillar and saw his own reflection and became intoxicated with madness just seeing his own beauty. Now, how many of you go through that when you look in the mirror? Usually we're thinking about what changes to make, to hide, whatever we don't want people to see. That's what mirrors are for, are they not? That's the function of mirrors in Kali Yuga. People sit in front of the mirror for so long time. You know, usually just trying to make adjustments so you hide the things you don't want people to see. That's what the cosmetic industry is about. Or try to somehow or other artificially enhance it. But Krishna sees his reflection and he goes into intoxicated madness by his own beauty. And then he's thinking, what is it that Srimati Radharani feels when she sees my beauty? When Srimati Radharani sees a tamal tree, just the resemblance of the bark of the tree to my complexion, she goes completely mad and embraces the tree. When a slight breeze carries the scent of my body before Radharani, she becomes so mad and intoxicated, she just wants to fly and merge into the breeze. Her ecstasies are something that Krishna admits even he cannot comprehend. He is the supreme object of love. He is the Vishai Vigraha of Prem. He is the object of ecstatic love. Srimati Radharani is the Ashray Vigraha of Prem. That means she is the abode of love. She is the lover. And what the Ashray experiences, even the Vishai Vigraha cannot comprehend. Therefore, desiring to understand the glory of Radharani's love, the wonderful qualities in him that she alone relishes through her love, and the happiness she feels when she realizes the sweetness of his love, the Supreme Lord Hari, richly endowed with her emotions, appeared from the womb of Srimati Sachi Devi as the moon appeared from the ocean. Once in a day of Brahma, does Krishna descend to this world with the sentiment and the complexion of Srimati Radharani and with the compassion of Radharani as the supreme universal mother of all living beings to nourish all of her children with her love. That is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. The loving affairs of Sri Radha and Krishna are transcendental manifestations of the Lord's internal pleasure-giving potency. Although Radha and Krishna are one in their identity, they separated themselves eternally. Now these two transcendental identities have again united in the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I bow down to Him who has manifested Himself with the sentiment and complexion of Srimati Radharani, although He is Krishna Himself. May the Supreme Lord, who is known as the Son of Srimati Sachi Devi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost chambers of your heart. Resplendent with the radiance of molten gold, He has appeared in the age of Kali by His causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation had ever offered before, the most sublime and radiant mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. This is the inconceivable internal reasons why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears. So Krishna from Goloka, in the mood of Sri Radhika, appears at the exact same time as the scheduled Yugavatar. And the Yugavatar is merges within Him to simultaneously bestow the highest fortune upon all of us. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving this highest treasure. How? Through service to the Vaishnavas and through showing compassion to the fallen souls. And by, with humility and tolerance, taking shelter of His own Self, which has come in His name. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made a garland with Nam Sankirtan and Krishna Prem. With His own loving hands, He's made this garland. And He's come in a spirit of love and respect to place that garland on the whole material world. Which means He's come to place that garland on each and every one of us personally. That's what this means. Putting the garland of Krishna Prem and Krishna Nam on the entire material world, what does that mean? What's the entire material world? It's not just some impersonal conception. What it means is every living entity within this material world. We are all within this world. By putting it on the whole material world, He's putting it on us personally. The question is simply, who was willing to receive it? The garland of Krishna Nam and Krishna Prem. So important to understand this principle. Krishna Nam is the means of achieving Krishna Prem. And what is the function of one in Krishna Prem? Krishna Nam. Hare Krishna. Is that confusing? You're not confused hearing it, but I'm confused saying it. Prabhupada was asked, what do you hope to get out of your chanting of Hare Krishna? Will you get material wealth? Will you get material powers? Will you get mysticism? Will you get liberation? Prabhupada said, all we want from chanting Hare Krishna, our goal, is to chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna! Through Krishna Nam, we get Krishna Prem. Through Krishna Prem, we get Krishna Nam. Through Krishna Nam, we get Krishna Prem. Through Krishna Prem, we get Krishna Nam. And it goes on for all of eternity. In the conditioned state, Cheto Darpanam Marajanam Bhavamahadavagnirvapanam Sreyakaravachandrakavataranam Vidyavadu Jivanam Anandam Budivaradanam Pratipatam Punamratasvadanam Sarvatmasnaparamparam Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. I associated with Dravida a little too much in my opinion. I'm sorry. The seven flames of the fire of Sankirtan purify our complete heart, awaken the ambrosial nectar of love of God within our heart. That is the power of chanting. But then what happens when Krishna Prem? When we have Krishna Prem, then our ambition, our goal, is to chant the holy names with that Prem. Yes? Chanting the holy names of the Lord is the eternal dharma, the service of all the living entities and all the Vaikunthas who love Krishna. Yes? Satatam kirtiyanto mam yatantas chadrita avrita. This is the quality of a great soul. They are constantly chanting my holy names and have great determination. Yes? So the goal of Krishna Nam is Krishna Prem, and the very essence of Krishna Prem is Krishna Nam. To glorify Krishna. That's all that's happening in the spiritual world, is the glorification of Krishna. Actually, Prabhupada said everything we're doing in this movement is Krishna Nam. It's Sankirtan. By making the garlands, by distributing the books, by cooking for the deities. It's all part of Sankirtan. It's all glorification of Krishna. In the spiritual world, there's nothing but the glorification of Krishna. And what is the meaning? Sankirtan. Everyone together, united, is glorifying Krishna for Krishna's pleasure. Jivve piva swami tramate deva govinda damodara madhaveti. This is the function of the gopis in the spiritual world. They're praying, my dear tongue, my dear tongue, my dear tongue, just chant these names, Govinda,
Govinda,
Damodar,
Damodar,
Madhaveti,
Madhaveti.
Bilva Mangala Thakur, who Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he worshipped as of the highest platform of Madhurya Ras. He gave these words. Jivve piva swami tamata deva govinda damodara madhaveti. This is the gopis. Tongue, taste the nectar of Krishna's names. That is the spiritual world. That is prema. When we chant Krishna's names, when we chant with love and devotion, Krishna becomes ecstatic. Krishna's receiving in his name our love when we chant it. That is the goal of life. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made this garland, Krishna Nam and Krishna Prem. And he's come to this world, along with his associates, to place the garland on each and every one of us. Mahaprabhu spread the holy name in the Sankirtan movement like wildfire in Navadweep. Why did he take sannyas? Because there were proud, materialistic people who escaped the network of his mercy. He took sannyas so that they would bow down to him, humble themselves, hear his words, and so that he could give them Krishna Nam and Krishna Prem. He took sannyas to give this garland personally to those who were envious of him. That is his mercy. And when he was in Varanasi, nobody wanted it. He came with the fruits of love of God. And he spoke to all of his followers for all time to come. This is Mahaprabhu. And what did he say? He said, I am a fruit vendor. And I have so many unlimited fruits. Each fruit is fully ripe. Each fruit is so succulent, so nectarine, that just by eating one fruit, one is satisfied for the rest of eternity. Have you ever tasted a fruit like that? That is the fruit of Krishna Prem. I have come to distribute these fruits of Krishna Prem without discrimination. Now most fruit vendors, according to the demand of the fruit, they have a price. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, the only price is our faith. That's all. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter where we're coming from. It doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter where we've been. All that matters is we're willing to accept it with some faith. Lord Chaitanya said, I have brought so many of these fruits. And he's appealing to all of his sincere followers that I have brought from the spiritual world such a massive supply of these fruits. I cannot distribute them myself. I want all of you to help me to distribute these fruits of love of God through Krishna Nam. Sankirtan. Therefore, it is such an intimate, loving service to the Lord to preach this message. When you're distributing books, when you're arranging the temple for a wonderful festival, anything you do within this movement that is helping to reach others with Harinam, with devotional service, you are actually participating in distributing these fruits, which is so very, very dear to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Our beloved Guru Maharaj, founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada. There was no one since the time of Mahaprabhu and Nityananda who was so eager and so empowered to take these fruits all over the world. Even at great risk, even at great pain. How much he is dear to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That we understand through Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And if we simply, as the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, Anu, insignificant little servants, if we just do what we have the power to do to assist him, how dear we will become to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is parampara. That is the real spirit of parampara. By taking the mission of the previous acharyas to our life, we give the most pleasure to Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's personally come, and he's personally empowered Prabhupada, and he's personally through this previous acharyas, and he's asking all of us to help. He wants us to receive this garland of Nam Sankirtan and Krishna Prem from him. And he wants us to assist him in going from person to person to person to place this garland of Nam Sankirtan and Krishna Prem. That's what it means that he has put the garland on the whole material world. He is making it available. In our times, we can understand it in this way. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaudatveshe Namaha Shri Rupa Goswami when he chanted this verse, it was with full realization of what the storehouse of nectarine love that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally brought with him from Goloka Vrindavan to distribute to this world. Now I will begin class. Actually, I think we should end now. And we will have kirtan and we will continue this evening and tomorrow and morning, afternoon, and then Sunday morning, afternoon, and then kirtaniya sadahari. That is our goal. So please, very carefully, in your heart of hearts, contemplate this throughout the day. How fortunate we are that Srila Prabhupada, he extended himself beyond any human limits to give us this gift. Understanding the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that Gaur Purnima is the holiest of all holy days, as is the Shukla Trayodasi of the month of Magh, which is the appearance day of Nityananda Prabhu. One who celebrates with faith and sincerity these days will undoubtedly receive the ripened fruit of Krishna Prema. So let us very, very gratefully and sincerely take advantage of this opportunity. This holy day of Gaur Purnima, it is like a deity within time. From sunrise to moonrise, on this particular day, there is an investment of the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is inconceivable and causeless. And whatever spiritual advancement, whatever prayer, whatever way we take shelter of Hari Katha, Hari Kirtan, and service to the Vaishnavas, special, special merit will come into our lives. Just as wherever Krishna Katha and Krishna Kirtan is taking place, that place is none different than Vrindavan. Krishna never takes a step out of Vrindavan. And he's also none different than his name and his katha. So if his name and his katha is here, and he never takes step out of Vrindavan, what does that mean? That means by his mercy, Vrindavan is manifesting wherever the devotees are sincerely coming together to hear and chant, to serve. So on this day of Gaur Purnima, hearing and chanting the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most magnanimous abode of Navadvipa has descended upon us. So today we are in Sri Mayapur Dham on Gaur Purnima, celebrating Gaur Purnima in the assembly of so many hundreds and hundreds, over 1,000 devotees. Let us take advantage of every moment. Do seva, make garlands, help with the cooking, help with the decorations. Participate in the kirtans, participate in the bhajans, in the classes. And most of all, try to keep your mind and heart always in the shelter of the most munificent
manifestation of Krishna's love, his holy name. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nam Sankirtan Yajna ki, Shri Shri Nithai Gaura Chandra ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Rani ki jai, Shri Radha Gopinath ki, Shri Gopal ji ki, Ananti Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki, Sri Gaur Purnima Mahotsav ki, Gaur Premanandi. Thank you very much. There's another reason we're ending early. This is early, actually. There is a very, very special announcement I have for all of you. A dream that has remained dormant within the hearts of our devotees in the ashram for many years has today manifested. I will reveal to you in due course of time. Does everyone see the Kadamba flower garland that is decorating Lord Chaitanya on the altar? We were speaking last night, this esoteric phenomena that on the smallest tree in our whole compound, we have 6 Kadamba trees. This is the smallest, and it gets the least amount of light. And in Bombay, Kadamba flowers only grow during the monsoon rain seasons. All the big trees with abundant light, they're waiting for monsoons to give their Kadamba flowers. But this particular tree, amazingly, I will venture to say miraculously, some brahmacharis woke up one morning just a couple days before Gaur Purnima and saw fully blossom Kadamba flowers on this tree. Out of season. See? Something else that's interesting is it's the smallest tree in the darkest place that is giving the sweetest flower. That is Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. So we have made a wonderful garland for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the Kadamba flowers from his own personal tree. And it's a Bengali Kadamba tree also. But that is not what I'm speaking about. In order to appreciate what I'm about to tell you, I will have to give you an elaborate historical account. Are you ready? It begins with Brahma at the time of creation. He was given transcendental knowledge by Krishna.
Krishna played his flute, and Brahmaji was enlightened with all transcendental knowledge simply by hearing the song of Krishna's flute. It manifested as Gayatri Mantra within his heart. Kam Gayatri. So this knowledge has been preserved by the most merciful, enlightened, most all of our acharyas in disciplic succession are intimate, confidential associates of the spiritual world who descend to help Lord Chaitanya's parampara. Inconceivable. Brahma gave this knowledge to Narada, who gave it to Vyasadeva, who shared it with Madhvacharya, and through the line of parampara, Madhavendra Puri, Ishwara Puri, Mahaprabhu, the six Goswamis, Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivasacharya, Shamananda Prabhu, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Baladev Vidyabhushan, Jagannath Das Babaji, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Gorkishore Das Babaji, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. All these personalities are waiting for us. They have given us the supreme treasure. They have all come to assist Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in garlanding the world and all beings within this world with the garland of Harinam and Krishna Prem. Now the path of bhakti is dynamic. That we could use all of our talents and all of our intelligence to somehow or other reach people, to somehow or other melt their hearts and convince them of the goal of life. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur especially wanted to utilize every type of technology and talent available to spread Lord Chaitanya's message of love. And one of the things he established as one of his prime preaching efforts was through dioramas, or dolls, statues that depict the philosophy and the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur created an exhibition of dioramas with philosophical teachings, leelas, and the greatness of the acharyas. And he actually traveled around the country with these Dairam museums. Traveled with them. And would go to towns and villages and big cities, even Bombay. Established these Dairams, set them up, invited people. They had Nam Sankirtan, Harikata, and people would come and they would attract it like anything. And it's a type of preaching which can go very deep in people's hearts because it's very non-confrontational. It's just the person by himself or herself just seeing and reading and trying to understand. You could take your time at your own pace. And what he considered this a very, very powerful way of reaching people's hearts. Because people are attracted to art, people are attracted to beauty, and to present philosophy in this context is simply wonderful. So it was one of his prime preaching efforts, is through exhibition of dioramas. And Srila Prabhupada, everything that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted, Prabhupada took as his life and soul. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted printing presses. He wanted book production. He wanted book distribution. And Prabhupada took that to such an extent that he has distributed more books of the Vedic literatures than any person in the history of the world. Hundreds and millions of books have been distributed. Hare Krishna. Under Prabhupada's inspiration. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted temples, places where people could gather, could take shelter of the Lord and be educated in the association of devotees. He established 64 temples all around India. Prabhupada took that from his Guru Maharaj and established in his life over 108 temples in every continent of the world except Antarctica. Australia. Japan, Southeast Asia, Korea, China, Russia, all over North America, United States, Canada, Mexico, practically every single country in South America, Central America, all around Africa, practically every major city in Europe, Eastern Europe, Western Europe. That was Prabhupada's potency. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur expressed the importance of temples. It's all the six Goswamis. They established temples. They wrote books. Prabhupada took it as his life and soul. Lord Chaitanya, the six Goswamis, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they very much try to eradicate the misconceptions of Mayavad philosophy. Srila Prabhupada, Nirvishesha Sunyavadi. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharade Nirvishesha Sunyavadi. He saved millions of people from the crocodiles of monistic, impersonal conceptions of Godhead. So yes, Prabhupada would say, my only qualification is I have complete faith that whatever, in just repeating whatever my Guru Maharaj has done and said. Such fidelity, such chastity, some purity, such love in just giving his Guru Maharaj, using all of his creative divine empowerment for that purpose. So the list can continue for a long time. But one of the things that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur did was establish Dhairam exhibitions for preaching. So in the very early 70s, Prabhupada had devotees who were actually developing into expert artists. Adidev, Bardraj, Lochan, other people like this. They were not only painters, but they had some experience in sculpturing too. Prabhupada sent them to Mayapur at a time when all there was straw huts there, to learn the science of making dhairams. And what his desire was to have these devotees learn to make these dhairams and make museums in America, dhairam museums. And they did. The first museum that they did, I believe, was in Detroit. Second in Los Angeles. And Prabhupada named it the Fate Exhibition. As far as I have heard from Tridas Prabhu, the word fate means first American theistic exhibition. Hare Krishna. I'm just beginning the story. You're going to be very happy with what I'm about to speak. I hope.
I'm so excited about telling you that I might not be able to tell you. I spoke to Adiraj just last summer. He lives in Alachua, Florida. I was at his home. And every year I meet Bhardwaj. He lives in Southern California near Topanga Canyon. And they both told me that Prabhupada brought them to Mayapur to learn dhairams because he wanted exhibitions for preaching. He did it there. He also wanted dhairam exhibitions in Bombay. You have seen at Radharas Bihari Temple in Juhu, right in the temple room surrounding everyone is dhairam exhibition. That was Prabhupada's order. He considered this such a special way of reaching people's hearts. And recently I was speaking to Dwarka Dish, doctor, and he said when he was a young student, that was one of the main most powerful influences that convinced him of Krishna consciousness, is just seeing the dhairams, reading the text of it, and just being able to just between him and Krishna contemplate. Yes, it had a powerful effect in his life. Prabhupada wanted them in India too. He wanted it in Mayapur. So Prabhupada specifically wanted in Bombay. When he sent those devotees to Mayapur to learn dhairams, they were trying to find the proper person to teach his foreign disciples. And one man came in. Adidev told me this story. He was the person who was in charge of the whole dhairam exhibition department by Prabhupada's commission. Adidev Prabhu told me that this one very young, small Bengali man came in and he had a piece of clay in his hand. Just a ball. And he was talking to Prabhupada, and as he was talking to Prabhupada, he just had a little stick in his finger, and he was just doing something with the clay as he was, Prabhupada was actually interviewing him to see what his experience was of dhairam making. And Prabhupada was very satisfied with what he said, and at the end of the talk, he just held this little ball of clay up, and it was a very perfect sculpture of Prabhupada's portrait. He practically didn't even look. Prabhupada said, "This is the man. He will teach you." And he was the first Shiksha Guru for all the Dhairam committee of the best artists at ISKCON. Five years later, Radha Gopinath Temple in Chopati, for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, our whole parampara, back to Brahma and Radha and Krishna. Today, we are going to inaugurate Dhairam exhibition. And the person who carved practically all the dhairams, if he didn't carve them, he trained some of our devotees how to do it personally, is that same personality who Prabhupada chose to teach ISKCON how to make dhairams, Milan. So this dhairam exhibition has really the stamp of authority of Srila Prabhupada and the blessings of our previous acharyas. And just now, we are going upstairs. The dhairam exhibit is up there, where the brahmacharis, like demigods, are looking down upon us, casting their blessings upon us.
on Gaur Purnima. Both of you come, please. Come. Show your moon-like forms. We have casting their merciful blessings from above. We have Gauranga and Sri Chaitanya. It's very auspicious. So we are going to inaugurate Dhyaram exhibit just now by having whatever ceremonial observances the brahmacharis have decided. And I don't know how many of you can fit there, but throughout the day you can all go up and give your blessings to this effort. And also today, we are officially inaugurating the garden. We are naming the garden Vrindavan Garden. So sometime during the day you could walk through the garden too. But please do not pick any flowers. Now, what should we name the Dhyaram Museum? We can't call it Fate because it means the first American theistic exhibition. Now, if we name it the first Indian theistic exhibition, that's Fight. And people might get the wrong idea. So we'll try to think of a name before moonrise this evening. So now we will inaugurate Dhyaram exhibit for the pleasure of Sri Nithai Gaurachandra, Radha Gopinath, Gopal, Srila Prabhupada, and all the assembled Vaishnavas. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. In the temple, there'll be kirtan now? We request everyone to participate in kirtan as well. His Grace Gaur Gopal Prabhu, Keshavacharya Prabhu, Jai Sachinandan Prabhu, Shivaram Prabhu, Akinchana Krishna Prabhu, all these great heroes of Sankirtan are assembled together to lead us in Harinam. Hare Krishna.